Welcome to Season 3 of Powerband Podcast, brought to you by Motomuck. If you've had a dirty weekend, check out motomuck.co.nz. Safe for any motorcycle you may have. On your chrome, it'll do a great job on your wheels. You can use it on your dirt bike, your road bike, whatever. Powerband Podcast is the premier New Zealand motorcycling podcast made by Kiwi bikers for Kiwi bikers. My name is Ray Heron, and joining me is co-host Matthew Day-Gillett.
G'day, g'day, mate. How are you?
Yeah, bloody good. And it's we usually record this during the week, so it's usually a little bit stressy and getting everything done, and we've both got young fellas, but today's a Sunday and I'm free and it's nice and relaxing.
Yeah, I was thinking about this just before. It's kind of like we're going to church, isn't it? We sort of go into our little podcasting nooks and sit down and have a yak about bikes. It's pretty sweet.
I think anything to do with bikes on a Sunday is church, really.
Pretty much, yeah. I've just been staring at the rally going, I should probably adjust the chain today if I get the chance and whatnot. But yeah, shall we dive into some news? Because I was mooching around the internet late last night when my young fella was deciding that midnight was a great time to be up and playing. And yeah, there's a few bits going on.
Right, let's do the news.
Righto, so first up, this came out this weekend, saw it on stuff.co.nz, and it got my blood boiling, to be honest. I know it doesn't sound like I'm really amped up about this, but some sort of, she looks a bit like a baby boomer, sort of old woman in her old Mac, were wandering through Te Papa, and she had the gall to jump on their V1000, their Britain. One of 10 bikes ever made by John Britton, no longer with us. And this woman jumps up on the thing and gets a Facebook photo taken. What the hell? The person that Stuff interviewed about this said she claimed to be a friend of John Britton. But if you were a friend of John Britton, you could A, go see the V1000 at his house, or B, you'd know not to get on top of one of these bikes in a frickin' museum. Like, they are priceless.
Generally, things in museums are behind barriers, and you think if something's behind a barrier, I better not touch it. I know if you get too close to things in the Auckland Museum, like lights and sirens go off, and that's just leaning over the barrier, not even touching them. So, I mean, does Te Papa need to upgrade their security, maybe?
Maybe. Like, they have said in the article that they're not going to put the V1000 behind glass, which is a good thing. I know that down in Invercargill at E. Hayes and Sons, where Bert Munro's World's Fastest Indian is, that is rightfully behind a glass barrier, which in the event of an earthquake means it won't get covered in nuts and bolts. But yeah, like, honestly, gobsmacking stuff. And I know you've taken your young fella to check out the V1000. There's not a huge barrier there, but there's plenty of signage saying, please do not touch, this is a priceless motorcycle, right?
Gotta say, though, the little old lady with the grey hair, the bike's clearly too big for her. I'm surprised that she managed to get up there. She's obviously an ex-gymnast or something.
Yeah, and the thing that also annoys me is Stuff have it as, what did they call it? Disrespectful viewer, museum visitor climbs on Te Papa a sculpture or something, as they had it. It's not a sculpture. Like, yeah, it's a work of art, but it's a working motorcycle. Well, it's a motorcycle. I don't know if it actually has run in any significant amount of time. But I remember years ago when I was in Wellington, I specifically went to Te Papa to check it out in person. Like, oh, it's just gobsmacking, this kind of thing, eh? Like, yeah, I've got my... got my hackles up and everything. I'm just want to punch that woman or at least slap it, but she got a slap on the wrist and that was it, from what I can tell.
Yeah, Te Papa spokesperson Kate Kemp confirmed the incident and said that the pair had been spoken to by museum staff who asked them to respect the museum's rules. It was dangerous and disrespectful and bloody stupid, Kemp said.
Like, that's not even, they didn't get kicked out or anything. Like, you'd think if you were in Auckland Museum and you did that and the alarms went off and people were like, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that, you'd get kicked out on your ass.
Yeah, I think they should be barred from the museum, and basically they got a wet bus ticket and naughty naughty.
It's yeah, it's got me quite riled up, to be honest. And
however, they did say, we checked the bike over, there wasn't any visible damage, so let's hope there's nothing serious on that bike. And
hopefully she didn't have her purse on her and scratch the paint minutely or whatever. But it's a really upsetting, eh? And better news, stuff that's going to make us happy, not sad. KTM's new 790 Adventure and 690 Enduro have a officially arrived in New Zealand.
Are we talking in shops, or are we talking the crates have hit the dirt?
In shops. So this, by the time this podcast hits the airwaves, we will have actually gone to the local Hamilton launch, which is being held, we're recording this on Sunday, in a couple of days at Boyd's Motorcycles on Tarapa, and they're going to have Chris Birch, Kevin Archer, and Mr. Elliot, can't remember his last name, his first name, sorry, and they're the two blokes that did the Mizuga rally on the KTM 790s, and did bloody well too.
I'm a bit jealous, because I really do actually want to try out the 790 Adventure. It's one of the bikes that I'm actually really interested in, and it's happening in Hamilton. I'm not even going to get a chance to get to it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you'll be able to wander down to your local, who are the guys down your way that do KTM again?
Yeah, we'll go see TSS and jump on one of theirs at some stage, I'm sure.
Yeah, so those are being out this week. Birchie's already gone for a ride on his, Chris Birch. If you check out his YouTube channel, just Google Chris Birch YouTube channel, and yeah, he's actually taken it for a proper trail ride, and honestly, man, it's impressive what these bikes can do. Like, big hand to KTM, they have designed a really, really capable bike. Only problem for me, at least, is well out of my price range. I think it's $23,000 for the good one. New 690 Enduro will be interesting as well. That's going to be at the Tarapa launch. So I'm going to hopefully, I'm probably imagining that there will be quite a queue to get on these bikes. They're offering quick demo rides up and down Tarapa Strait, I imagine. So hopefully I'll be able to jump on and give a little bit of insight next week.
And knowing Tarapa Strait, it'll be nowhere on the front wheel thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, let's see. Got to pay for my own insurance, and I'd rather not crash one of those bikes, because as much as I would like to own one, I don't want to own one that I've crashed. But yeah, so that's next week. We'll be bringing you whatever we can from that Boyd's Motorcycles launch, and yeah, first impressions of seeing the 790 Adventure, 790 Adventure R, and new 690 Enduro in the flesh. That'll be season 3, episode 3, I believe.
Yes, it will. Hey, Triumph have got a new offering, I hear.
Yes, I think we talked about this last month. Not last month, sorry. I think we talked about this last season. Triumph have a special new Rocket 3 called Triumph Factory Custom. And it's the precursor of what will be the production new Rocket 3. Triumph's Rocket 3 has held the, what would you call it? The record for the world's biggest production motorcycle engine since 2004. And it's just got bigger. So the new Rocket 3 is the most powerful Triumph ever made. It's got 221 newton meters of torque and more than 170 horsepower on tap. 2.5 liter inline 3 engine.
Wow.
So that's basically, I'm looking outside right now into my carport. I have a 2.5 liter engine in my family wagon, and that hauls ass.
I got one of them as well, but it's slightly older model. I got a 2.5 litre family wagon. It's 4-cylinder though. Are you saying we can get 2.5 litre 3-cylinder on 2 wheels?
Yeah, and it's a really impressive bike. No word yet on how many will be coming to New Zealand. They're only making about 750 worldwide, I believe. So it's a very limited run. Each will be numbered, as you do with limited edition motorcycles. It's 40 kilograms lighter than the previous Triumph Rocket 3 as well. And that thing could wheelie, do burnouts for days. Honestly, this, we think of the Triumph Speed Triple as the hooligan bike of the world. And I'm sort of thinking this Rocket 3 is going to take the crown, because holy hell, it's just, the specs read awesome. Brembo Stylema monoblock brakes, fully adjustable Showa suspension, Brembo span adjustable levers, the crazy power, 170 horsepower and 221 newton meters of torque. It's going to be awesome, and it looks the business as well.
So you know when you when you're a young fella and somebody says, what do you want to do when you leave school, when you grow up, and you say, I want to be a designer, and then you spend 15 years at design school, and then you you work your ass off and you put a you put your CV into a company like Triumph, and you get to design the bar end weights, and you know, you get to design the little things, and then someone says, hey look, if you want to, you can go and design a motorbike and see what happens. And then you go and design a bike. Is this the bike you design?
I'm not sure. Like,
is this like the designers at Triumph have just been given free rein to go and do whatever they want to do something completely crazy and off the wall? And then somebody said, yeah, okay, we'll give that a nudge.
Yeah, honestly, it's absolutely bonkers. LED lighting as well. The something that I actually think is really, really cool is so the first bike to debut Triumph's second generation of TFT instrumentation was, of course, the Scrambler 1200. So instead of having what looks like a tablet glued to the front of your bike, you've actually got something that looks like a proper motorcycle gauge cluster. And the Rocket 3's got this beautiful TFT display. It's circular, so it doesn't look like someone's glued an iPad to the front of the bike. And the colours are gorgeous. But everything about this bike just seems gorgeous. I really hope to actually check one out in person if we ever get the chance, because it's just stunning. You sort of think of Triumphs back in the day and they're pretty, but they don't really get the blood flowing quite like this bike seems to be getting the blood flowing for me. It's just gorgeous.
We'll get some photos up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/powerbandpodcast. You can check them out and give us your opinions on those bikes as well. We love to hear from you because the podcast wouldn't happen without your input. So please do let us know, whether it be a message on that Facebook page, or you can send us a private message, or you can email us at powerbandpodcast@gmail.com as well.
For some dirt news, because hooray, hooray, we've got some new dirt bikes coming. This week, since the last podcast came out, KTM and Husqvarna have announced their 2020 motocross bikes. So that's the KTM SX range and the Husqvarna TC and FC models. So all new bikes, new bikes coming for 2020, so they'll be arriving sometime later this year, because KTM and Husky like to get their new year models out at the end of the previous year. And yeah, they're looking hot, man. So both companies, as we sort of discussed before, KTM owns Husqvarna. Everything's made in Madagofen, which is KTM's hometown. Both the KTMs and the Husqvarnas have new graphics and colours, making them look really cool. The four-stroke bikes, which are, tend to be the 450s and 250s, all come with an electric starter and a map select switch. Brakes are all by Brembo, and the suspension is the new WP-XACT suspension. And yeah, it's really, really looking like it's going to be, again, the cutting edge of motocross bikes. There's just so much to sort of talk about with these, and honestly, you're the dirt guy between us. You know more about dirt than me. It's all a bit like, whoa. I only just looked at it as well before we decided to record, so I will add a bit more info and whack a story up on onthrottle.co.nz if you want to know more about those Huskies and if you want to know more about those Huskies and new KTMs for 2020.
Man, you say I'm the dirt guy. I'm riding a 2003 WR, so it's not a Husky, it's not a KTM, and it's old as the hills.
Yeah, it's a classic, man, nearly.
But these bikes sound fantastic, and I'm really keen to give them a nudge. I mean, I'm keen to ride anything, really.
Yeah, well, the cool thing I like about the Husqvarnas is they've got this really nifty really cool subframe where it's made of like a composite plastic, and everything's molded, and it's just sexy as hell. Like, honestly, I'd go for the Husky just for that cool subframe, because they're basically the same technology used in them, except slightly altered ergonomics, essentially. But yeah, I'll whack up a story on each of those and whack it on onthrottle.co.nz in the coming week before this goes live.
Fantastic. That pretty much rounds us off for the news. And a couple of weeks ago, I got the chance to go on a ride. It was the Sunday following Anzac Day, and well, I won't ruin the story, but it was run by the Red Knights Firefighters Motorcycle Club, and it was the Ride of Respect.
Anzac Day, April 25th, commemorating all New Zealanders and Australians killed in war, and honouring returned servicemen and women. The date itself marks the anniversary of the landing of Anzac troops, the Anzacs, on the Gallipoli Peninsula in 1915. The aim was to capture the Dardanelles, the gateway to the Bosphorus and the Black Sea. At the end of the campaign, Gallipoli was still held by its Turkish defenders. Thousands lost their lives in the Gallipoli campaign. 87,000 Turks, 44,000 men from France and the British Empire. Among the dead were 2,777 New Zealanders, about a sixth of those who served in Gallipoli. It may have led to a military defeat, but for many New Zealanders then and since, the Gallipoli landings meant the beginning of something else. A feeling that New Zealand had a role to play as a distinct nation, even as it fought on the other side of the world in the name of the British Empire. Anzac Day was first marked in 1916. The day has since gone through many changes. The ceremonies that were held at war memorials up and down New Zealand or in places overseas where New Zealanders gather remain rich in tradition. On the first Sunday following Anzac Day every year, the Red Knights Motorcycle Club organise a charity motorcycle ride in as many locations around New Zealand as possible. We joined the Wellington ride, starting at the Nainai RSA, heading up State Highway 2 and over the Rimutakas into Wairarapa.
So we're here at the Ride of Respect. Sean, you're obviously a big man in charge, standing up at the front for the riders briefing. Who are you?
Hey, we're the Red Knights Firefighters Motorcycle Club, and we've been fortunate enough for the last 2 years now to host the Ride of Respect. So the idea behind the Ride of Respect is motorcyclists being able to acknowledge and commemorate and show our respects for our veterans. So the money we raise from the Ride of Respect in every region, that money goes towards the RSAs that we visit. So we're able to give back directly to the RSAs to help support their members.
Brilliant. How many bikes do you think we've got here today?
Last count, we had just over 130. They're probably more because I haven't been had a chance to get out and count them. So yeah, it's a really good turnout on a beautiful Wellington day.
Fantastic. And I know you're a busy man. Where are we going today? We're obviously at the Taita RSA right now.
Yep. So we're going from the Taita RSA. We're going to have a scenic ride over the Rimutakas. We're going to stop at the Featherston World War One training camp, and it was also the World War II POW camp, before making our way to Martinborough around the square and then having a mystery tour to the Carterton RSA where we're going to finish the ride.
Brilliant, looking forward to it.
Well, good morning everybody. Welcome to the Taita RSA. As I said inside before, thanks very much everyone for turning up, taking the time out of your day. The main reason that we are here is commemorating all of our soldiers that have taken part in all of the battles and wars around the world, and also obviously World War One and World War Two. So at 10 o'clock we'll be stands up, wheels rolling. This is the ride of respect, it's not the race of respect. So we're just going to take it easy, go have a great ride over the rim of Tuckers, around the square at Martinborough, make a bit of noise if you want. And then we're going to leave there and on mystery tour to Carterton. Well, we know where we're going, you guys don't. So we'll pull into Carterton and they'll be waiting for us there. So 10 o'clock, wheels up, wheels rolling, we're out of here.
So we did just that. Now, I was about halfway back in the pack. We had Harleys, Victories, Suzukis, Yamahas, Hondas, Triumphs, KTMs, sports bikes, cruisers, tourers. There was almost every type and style of bike in attendance. Over 125 bikes rolled out of the Taita RSA and onto State Highway 2. It was likely one of the most docile rides any motorcyclist has ever taken over the Remu Tuckers, but the sun was peeking through and the sky quickly becoming blue. It was chilly though and quite blustery at the top of the Remu Tuckers. We didn't stop, we carried on over to Featherston. Our first stop was the site of the old military camp just north of Featherston. Featherston Camp was built in 1915 when the army needed more space for training all the soldiers going to World War One. Around two-thirds of the New Zealand Expeditionary Forces who went to World War One were trained in Featherston. The camp was in existence until 1918 when it became a German POW camp for a brief period before becoming a hospital for people with the Spanish flu when that epidemic kicked off around the world. Around 1942, the camp was re-established for the Japanese prisoners of war. They had around 800 Japanese POWs on site at any one time. However, all that remains these days are some of the original concrete foundations. We're on the ride of respect, and we're at the first stop in just out of Featherston, and catching up with long-time podcast listener Brett. And Brett, you're riding something quite unique.
Yeah, g'day. It's a factory-built Rewaco trike running a 1800cc Volkswagen motor.
Wow, it's a big trike too. What do you use this beast for?
Oh, we do a lot of charity work. That's, you know, another reason for being out today with everybody, yourself included. But when I'm not out donating my time and our machine for charity rides, we take paying clients around the Wellington region.
Really? So I could pay and you take me for a ride around the district?
Absolutely. So we've got jackets and helmets and a little bit of knowledge of the Wellington region. So you know, we can get two clients on the back and two around Wellington enjoying the day and the views.
So is this the sort of thing like little Jimmy's 16, he's going to his first school formal, wants to take his gorgeous little date on a gorgeous little machine?
Yeah, we could get Jimmy out, or we could get Jimmy's mum and dad. Actually, they'd probably want to be relaxing enough and hop on the back, and you know, you enjoy a really uninterrupted view, not like being in a cage or a car, as some people know them, where you got the pillars and windscreens. Look, you sit up on the back, totally uninterrupted view, forward and to your left or to the right of you.
I actually saw you in Wainui Mata a few months ago with quite a famous person on the back in a big red suit.
Yeah, we've managed to be Santa Sleigh 3 years in a row. Sort of, you know, updating the old boy to some of the awesome Slade machines that are out there.
So at the Ride of Respect, I reckon there's over 100 bikes here. What is it about the Ride of Respect that brings you out to these sorts of rides?
Oh, really, it's just joining a group of other guys and ladies that are remembering the fallen and people that have gone to battle or wars, you know, whether they were nurses, soldiers, you know, anybody that's gone out there, so we can enjoy our freedom and go out and perform this sort of Ride of Respect charity ride, you know, it's just our little bit, you know, the money that we pay for the badges and for the brunches or the afternoon tea, hey, they go to the respective RSA branches that we go to, so yeah, it's just good as a to be able to put something back.
And it's good to hang out with you for the day on our beasts too.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when you look around, there's certainly many machines, whether they're Yamahas or Hondas or Harley Davidsons, hey look, but we're all coming together for the one common cause, and that's remembering those before us.
Hey, so just quickly, while we got you here, if anyone does want to go for a cruise on your trike, how do people get hold of you?
Oh, it's pretty easy. If you're young enough, you can use Instagram, Facebook, or for the slightly more challenging technological people, just whip through on our Facebook page. On our website. I'm one of those older people, I can't handle all this modern technology. So yeah, we've got three mediums that you can contact us on and book a ride.
Trikentours.co.nz, that's T-R-I-K-N tours.co.nz. Hey Brett, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you very much for your time and have a great day.
From there, we got back on the road. We took a bunch of gorgeous back roads on the way out to Carseton. And when we finally got to Carseton, we parked up outside the RSA. 125 bikes. It doesn't sound like a big number, but when you get them all parked up on one road, there's a lot of bikes. And that gave me a good chance to catch up with a few of the riders that we'd done the trip with and do the main thing while we do these rides, socialise and catch up with people about their bikes. What's your name and what are you riding?
I'm Sean, Mini, and I'm on a Chieftain Dark Horse Indian.
She's a big girl.
It's a nice bike here. Yeah, I've had it 2016, bought it down at the Burp Munro. It was a stand bike, so it was up on the stand. And I traded a Harley Davidson electric light for it. So I've had it, three and a bit years.
Nice. And what is
it? It's a unique model because it's got that patina look on the exhaust pot, which is rust. I mean, it's
it was the first Chieftain Dark Horse in the country.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So
what is it about these rides, like the ride of remembrance, that brings you out to these sorts of things?
Well, Kevin and I are both ex-military, yes. So we're both ex-army from yesteryear, long time ago. But we still come out, do these rides of remembrance for, and rides of respect for, recognise those people that have gone before us.
Kev, tell us about your bike.
My name's Dyna Switchback, 2014. Model's not made anymore, but it's top of the line of the Dyna model because it's got the hard panniers and the screen and stuff like that. So it's a next step up before you go into the bigger touring bikes like the Street Glides and stuff like that. I've had it for what? Three and a bit years now. Had it as next demo bike. So yeah, it goes really well, handles. There are a few optional wedges. I've got a sissy bar, which I haven't put on it today, comes off, but it's a good enjoyable bike to go out for a ride. And like Sean, I like to do these rides because, we respect our forebrothers have gone.
So thank you very much to the RSAs around the country who helped get the rides of respect off the ground, also donated their car parks, cooked the breakfasts and took the money. Thanks also to the Red Knights Motorcycle Clubs around the country who put their hard yards in to organise the events. Photos and videos are up on the facebook.com/powerbandpodcast and Instagram as well @powerbandpodcast. We'll share any and all future events through our Facebook page for anyone who would like to attend one in the future. Very, very well run events for a great cause. Disappointing though to see quite a number of pillion riders without proper gear. Come on guys, even the missus or the kids, if they don't ride often, it's still important to beg or borrow, or maybe not steal, but get them proper gear to protect them. I saw one young lady on the back of a Harley wearing Adidas yoga pants, so apart from being very cold, she would have been in some considerable danger if she had to come off. On a more positive note though, if you've got an event coming up that you think we should be a part of, email us, powerbandpodcast@gmail.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. We would love to know about your event, and at bare minimum, let people know through the podcast about it, or if we can, we'll come along and review it. Great. Anyway, back to the studio. Quite a few riders' stories in there as well, Matt, which was great to hear. And we want to hear your stories. We do want to hear from you. Every smartphone has a memo recorder, a little voice recorder. So hit record on that and tell us about your bike. Stand in the garage and tell us where your bike came from, the story behind it, why you bought it, what you've done to it. Every single motorcycle has a story and we want to hear it. So record that and email it to us at powerbandpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, just thinking maybe we should give them an example. Maybe we stand in our in our respective garages and do a quick 2 minutes on each of our bikes and go, look, this is what we want to know from you.
Yeah. I mean, it can be 2 minutes, it can be 5 minutes, it can be 20 minutes, it can be 30 seconds. Not worried. But every motorcycle has a story. So, Matt, if you were to give us a story on your CRF 250L Rally.
Well, I'd start with the fact that it lives inside the house and not in an actual garage. I have a very, very understanding wife. I'd sort of start off with the why I bought it, which was back when I was working at a motorcycle magazine in Pairoa. I got to test ride it for a story and I fell in love with the thing, and somehow 2 years later I found it at my local Honda dealer and went, cool, you're mine now. And since then, put on maybe 1500 k's. I haven't ridden it as anywhere near as much as I'd love to. Put on some bike busters from bitsbeforebikes.co.nz, currently eyeing up some suspension, and most recently I got my hands on a quad lock like you've got on your MT07, which I am really looking forward to having a go with at some point, and seeing what it's like to actually be able to see your Google Maps without having to look down at a tank bag that's magnetically held onto the tank and tends to fall off.
So it's that simple.
Yeah, just that easy.
Yeah, if I was to do a quick one on the MT07, I bought one brand spanking new before they were even launched in New Zealand and rode it for 40,000 k's over 4 years, sold it, missed it, bought another one. The first one was gunmetal grey. This one is midnight purple.
It's actually a really good looking colour as well.
Yeah, when I heard it was purple, I was like, oh, I'm not going to like that. But it turned out to be a really, really nice colour. And it looks black in most colours, in most cases. Since then, I've covered it in AliExpress parts. That polarizes people, doesn't it? You say, oh, I got these from AliExpress. We'll talk about that later. And I've got, as you mentioned, the quad lock on it. Great bike. Came with the pennies and the hot grips. And the longest trip I did on it was up to Cambridge, down the Forgotten Highway to Taranaki and back to Wellington. That was, I think that was 1,300 k's over 3 days. And it's been a great little bike.
Yeah, end of.
So there's a couple of examples on what you could be telling us about your bikes. So hit that memo recorder. If you're struggling, if you're technologically adept, just send us a message on Facebook. It's great. We'll help you out. But hit that memo recorder. Hit record. Record yourself telling us about your bike and email that to powerwhatbandpodcast@gmail.com. Nice and simple. Got a few thank yous to say this episode because we're rounding off now. We're running out of content for you. Thank you very much to onthrottle.co.nz, which is our kind of sister website, run by you, Matt.
Yep. It's almost the home of Powerband Podcast, but not quite really.
It's the home of written content for Powerband Podcast, isn't it?
Yeah, and you can listen to the podcast on there via the podcast tab as well, which is nice and handy. And also thanks to KiwiRider.co.nz, who have decided to start helping us out this season as well. Good mate Ben Wilkins, who's the editor. He came with us on that brilliant trip at the end of last season. Good buggers, and it's free to subscribe to Kiwi Rider.
Yeah, so Kiwi Rider have
a magazine. It's a digital magazine, so instead of paying you however much it costs to subscribe to a physical magazine these days, you literally just click a button on their website, kiwirider.co.nz, put in your details, which is basically your name and your email address, and every couple of weeks you will get a brand new edition of Kiwi Rider sent to your inbox, and you can just read it on your phone, on your laptop, whatever.
And it's quite intuitive. It's high quality, so you can zoom in, zoom out. You can click on images and get them bigger. You can click on text to make it bigger if you struggle with, you know, size on your phone or anything like that. You can physically turn the page with a mouse if you're using a computer, so you still get that tactile kind of reading a magazine feel. But there's also, like using a magazine, you can't click on a link and see more about something. So it's very interactive and very computerized while still having that I'm reading a magazine feeling.
Yeah, like one of the cool things I love about it is scrolling through. If I see a product I quite like being advertised, I can click on the product. So if I'm, say, looking at tires for the CRF, I can click on a link and it'll take me to the website. I can find out how much it will cost me to get a set of tires for my bike, and I don't have to pick up the phone and call a shop, because I hate doing that. It's nice and easy.
You really are an old school journalist, aren't you?
I hate using telephones. I'd much rather use email.
So yes, Kiwi Rider, an edition, an episode, a magazine out Tuesday this week. Of course, if you're listening to this on podcast release day, it's a Thursday. So Tuesday, and I'm pretty sure that that GS that Ben rode in our season finale for season two is in that magazine.
Yeah, the party couch. I'm really looking forward to reading that and actually seeing if he starts referring to it as the party couch.
Well, he said he would, didn't he?
Yeah, so... Oh, fingers crossed, because that'll be a good laugh. That thing really did boogie, though.
Yes, it did. It was a great bike. So thank you very much, kiwirider.co.nz. Got to say a massive thank you to Motomark. If you've had a dirty weekend, if you got your bike all filthy, doesn't matter whether that's on the road, you've ridden through the rain, or on the dirt and you've gone, you know, through a few different puddles, do check out motomark.co.nz. The cleaning stuff that they sell really works. Hand on heart, it really works. And if you want to see proof of that, facebook.com/powerbandpodcast, or jump on YouTube and search out the only video that we've probably actually managed to get on YouTube at this stage, which is our review of Motomark. It is fantastic stuff. And if you go to their website, motomark.co.nz, hit up the things that you want to purchase, add them to your cart, and then put in the code POWERBAND, POWERBAND, one word, you'll get 15% off at motomark.co.nz. So that brings a 5 litre bucket pail container of Motomark down to less than $39.
And it's bloody good stuff too, like that, those 5 litre jugs. So we've used this before. Quick thing on our review, we noted one of the only downsides to Motomark is the spray bottles. You get a tired hand. That's the only effort you actually have to put into, because you got to just keep squirting that spray bottle.
Exactly. And if you go on their website, you can pick up not only the Motomark cleaner, but you can get one of those weed spray bottles that you've mentioned before, Matt.
Yeah. So I didn't buy mine from the Motomark website. I went down to my local Repco, bought a 5 litre jug of Motomark, and bought a I'd say it's probably a 3 or 4 litre weed sprayer with the little pump top. And oh man, it made cleaning the bike easy. But best of all, when I decided to use the Motomark on the car, because you can use it on your car, no worries, it must made covering that huge family station wagon so much easier. And yeah, then you drink your Fanta, spray it all off, and you've got a clean vehicle. Genius.
Brilliant. So thank you very much, motomark.co.nz. Use the code POWERBAND, get 15% off your Motomark. Nice and easy. Keep your toys nice and clean. Not only motorbikes, but they've got stuff for four-wheel drives. They've got stuff for your alloy wheels. They've got stuff for your golf sticks.
Yeah, it's almost worth us getting into playing a bit of golf to get some golf sticks dirty, because I don't know how you get golf sticks dirty, to be honest, but keeping them clean must be important regardless.
I'm pretty sure you use that big round one, the club, for when you need to get the ball on the short grass into the hole.
Ah, that made no sense to me at all. I've never played golf.
There's only one thing left to do in this episode. Thank you very much for listening to Power Band Podcast. We are season 3. This is episode 2. It is the dad joke.
All right, I've got to tell it to the little fella after we're done.
Where did turtles refuel?
Where did turtles refuel?
At the Shell station.
That'd be a lot better if it was, 10 years ago when we still had Shell before they sold it and became Zed.
Powerband Podcast Season 3, brought to you free and without a paywall. Thank you very much to Motomark. Give us a like on the Facebook page, facebook.com/powerbandpodcast. And we will be back next week with another episode. I've been Ray.
I've been Matt.
Keep the rubber side down, keep the shiny side up, as they say, and we'll catch you in a week's time.